I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 22 tonight. Genesis 22. This is not what I intended on speaking on coming to this conference. I was going to speak on Daniel, but so many has referred to Daniel already, and I hear that our brother spoke on Daniel last night, so we'll pass that by. But we might refer to him a little bit. Genesis chapter 22, and read from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word and what we have already heard in the fore part of the meeting tonight and throughout the day. I thoroughly enjoyed the day, and I think every one of us can say that we have enjoyed the ministry that's been before us this day. When I think of our brother Steve this afternoon talking about a father and a son, when you think of this Abraham and his son, truly you can see that Abraham loved his son, didn't he? It tells us that right here. We have God's word for it. Thy son whom thou lovest. Quite a thing for Abraham. This is quite a test in Abraham's life. But I think of Abraham when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he was called out by God. He was a man who was called out for a purpose. We all know that. And I could speak tonight about his four altars, and I could speak about Jacob's four pillars. I could speak about Isaac's four wells. I could speak about Joseph's four garments. But we're not going to do that. But when I look over this audience, and I looked it over I don't know how many times this afternoon, I didn't look at the preachers all the time. I like to watch people, see how they listen. And knowing a little bit of my background, being an auctioneer some say, well, you can't see all the people in here at the same time. Well, you raise your hand over here, and I'll pick it up. But that's beside the point. When I think of these here portions of God's Word, and I think of Abraham, a called out man. But I think of the first altar that he really did build. You ever notice that he did not call upon the name of the Lord on the first altar? The Lord appeared to him. That has touched me lately. Every child of God should have a place where they go to get in communion with God. A dear man in our part of the country, one time, as he got older in life, he didn't farm his land anymore. He rented it out. But he kept the hay land, and the hay went up in the hay mound, and the straw, as you all know, I don't know how many farmers are here today that understand all this, but whenever he got ready to saw all his straw and hay out of the hay mound, there was one bale that was behind the chute there where you go down, up and down, and one man walked over and picked up that bale, and oh, wait a minute. He says, you don't take that bale. Well, the man says, what do you want with one bale? Well, he says, that's a special bale. I wonder, dear brothers and sisters, if we have a bale, or do we have a place that we go to lay hold of God in prayer? Now, Abraham did not call upon the Lord on the first altar. He just went to the altar and allowed God to speak to him. I don't know how many times you've gotten down to pray, and sometimes you just wonder, well, how can I really get in the presence of the Lord? I have found in my life just getting down and wait in silence until God begins to speak. Have you ever experienced it? And my, all of a sudden when God begins to speak, you can pour out your heart to God in prayer. It's lovely when a person gets a word from the Lord. Now, we have a lot of young people here today, and my heart goes out to the young. I love young people. I have 17 grandchildren of my, are in our family. And if there's anything I love, to see them all together. The other night, we were all together. And we usually open up a few of the scriptures and have a little say about the Bible. And we pray together. Several of them saved. Some of them are not. But we continue to pray. But I think here about Isaac, a man about 25 years old. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young boys, allow me to call them boys, about 14, 15, 16 years old, setting their life out for God. Daniel a little bit older, probably 21, 22, about the age of Isaac here. And he was a man who set his life out for God. They allowed God to be in control in their life. And so did Isaac. And we'll see that a little bit later on. I think of another man by the name, about 17 years old, Joseph. And one day his father sent him out to go down to that wicked city Shechem to check out the flocks. The father had such confidence in that son. And I wish we, and I really believe, dear brethren and sisters, with all my heart, that we've got a lot of young people amongst us that are like Joseph's, like Isaac's, and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want to encourage you by all, dear ones, this afternoon, keep that up. Set your life out for God. When I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I think Nebuchadnezzar coming there and tell him, now, if you're not going to worship this golden image, you're going to go into that fire. I can just see Shadrach smiling in the face of Nebuchadnezzar. Just smiling. Nebuchadnezzar could say to him, now listen, I'm going to heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it ever was before. And still Shadrach just smiled at him. You know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had such confidence in their God that they knew God was going to deliver them out of that fiery furnace. Now, what is that, dear ones, tonight? That's a lot of faith, isn't it? We didn't hear much about faith today. We heard a lot about the Spirit. Now, these men were indwelt with the Spirit of God, but they were filled with the Spirit of God, but they were not indwelt by the Spirit of God. We today are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have far more protection yet than those men. But the day came when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound in their clothes and thrown into that fiery furnace. And there they are, walking around in that furnace, not touched. And there was another in there, like on the Son of Man. Mind when you think of that. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord could have preserved them from going into that fiery furnace. He could have delivered them from going into that in some miraculous way. But no, He wanted them in that fiery furnace. He wanted to prove to them that He could deliver them out of it and they could go through the fire. They could go through the testing and still come out. There's many a testings in the lives of believers that the Lord puts us through. Why? To strengthen our faith. I don't know how much faith you have tonight in this meeting. I oftentimes mention about Norman Crawford. We were going from place to place visiting one time. And we were going to a special place this time. Brother Crawford said to me, Mr. Weber, he says, how much faith do you have? I thought, why would he ever ask me that? How much faith I have? How much faith do you have? I said, well, brother, I said, if I had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, I could remove a mountain. All right? He says, that's absolutely right. You know what he said then? He says, that's not very much faith, is it? That's not a lot of faith. The size of a grain of mustard seed. Have you ever seen a grain of mustard seed? On a piece of paper, it would be hard to detect it, partner. If it wasn't white paper, you wouldn't even detect it. So small. I wonder what kind of faith do we really have? I just had a series of meetings out in Forest Grove, Oregon. 7 nights meetings. And they put all effort into it. Invited all the people that went through the Sunday school, Pat, till 1936. 75 of those people came in. And a man, 83 years old, went down to the restaurant one day and says, you know, I went over to them gospel meetings and I got saved the other night in the meeting. Isn't that wonderful? Are you glad you're saved? Thank you. I'm really glad I'm saved. I'm an old man, you know. Brother Jim Webb says, quit telling people you're getting old. He says, just tell them you're getting up there. What's the difference? We're all getting up there. We're all getting a day older every day, aren't we? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were delivered out of that heated furnace. Not even smoke upon them. Completely delivered. Who delivered them? God delivered them. Do we really put confidence in our God? I think of Abraham here in the test after being called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And one thing about Abraham, always remember that. He never, ever went back to the Ur of the Chaldees again. He never went back there. He went on. But there was ups and downs in the life of this man. And from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 22, we see 50 years gone by in his life. That's quite a long time, isn't it? I've been on the way to heaven for 53 years. It won't be too long. It'll be 54. So you can see I'm getting to be an old man. Some people don't believe it. I'm 72 years old. And that's getting closer to heaven every day. And so are you. The second altar he built. He called upon the name of the Lord. And then the famine came along. Then he left and went down into Egypt. Oh yes, one morning he got up and says to Sarah, "Hear them cattle bellowing out there? Hear the lambs bleating? There's a famine. There's no grass out there." Now listen, dear ones, just because there's a famine, don't think you have to move. Because the Lord is there. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the heated furnace. And He can provide in a time of famine. If you could go back and talk to the people that went through the early 30s, talk about the famines that they went through, and they made it. God delivered them through it. But I better get on. I think of this year portion of God's Word, the great test upon Abraham and his life. "Offer up thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest." That was a tremendous test. But Abraham, in all the ups and downs, the valleys and the mountain tops, and everything that Abraham went through, by this time, Abraham has come to the place in his life, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. And you can plainly see in this portion of God's Word that Abraham loved God more than he loved his only son, Isaac. Isn't that quite a thing? And he got everything ready. What a morning that must have been when Abraham got up. "This is the day I'm going to have to offer my son." And they had everything in order. And they went to the place. And when they came to the place, he saw the place afar off. He said to the two young lads, "You stay here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." What is Abraham saying? He's going to offer his son and saying that he's going to offer him, and then they're both going to come back to him. He was accounting that God was going to be able to raise him from the dead. Now that is great faith. And then he put the things on Isaac there, and they're on the way to that mountain in the land of Moriah. What a sight that must have been, Abraham and his son together. What love there must have been between that father and that son. You love to see them walk together, don't you? My, when you think of Isaac, come to a certain point, he says, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" My, Abraham says, "God will provide Himself a lamb." Did God provide Himself a lamb? My, when you think of Isaac there, the thought of Isaac, here's everything in order, but no lamb. And they're going to go up to that mountain in the land of Moriah, and he's going to be offered on the altar. And it says, "So they went, both of them together." Then they come to the place, and Abraham takes the wood, and he builds an altar, and he puts that wood in order. And now he's going to bind his son. Now here's the point that I want to get out. When I think of Isaac here, and he's being put upon the altar, and he allows his father to bind him, 25 years old, a young, strapping, strong man, he could have retaliated. He probably could have overtaken his father at 125 years old. He probably could have done it very easily. No, but Isaac was willing to surrender his life out to his father. What obedience. This man wanted to surrender his whole life out to his father. I wonder, dear child of God here tonight, would I be willing to surrender my whole life out to God? Think of the young man Joseph, who was sold down into Egypt, and all the things that Joseph went through, and he wasn't about to defile his family, his father, his heavenly father. He wasn't going to do it, dear ones. He surrendered his life out for God. And God preserved that young man in a time of wicked conditions. So, dear ones, tonight, just rely on God. He is in control. So when I think of this here, Isaac here, and Abraham takes him and lays him upon the altar. Can you imagine Isaac's thoughts in the place of death? Quite a thing. I usually bring this out in the gospel, and maybe we'll touch on that just a little bit. A person that's not saved, here he is, he's bound in his sin, and he's upon the altar. What's he going to do? There's not a thing he can do. He's absolutely without strength, isn't he? He's bound. That's every one of us as a sinner. We had to come to that place that we were absolutely helpless. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was in a place not too long ago, and I said, after I was speaking for a while, I said, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm thankful for you that said a few amens tonight, but I couldn't raise an eyebrow. I said the second time, I said, I'm glad I'm saved. And you know what? I said, I'm really glad I'm saved. And finally, are you happy tonight? Thank you. In a series of tent meetings with about 225 people coming in every night, and one night I said, you know what? I'm glad I'm saved. And yes, I says, I'm glad I'm saved. And finally, what do you suppose I heard? You know what it was? Somebody way in the back, hallelujah! Thanks be to God, there was one of them in there that night. Then he says, amen, right behind it. And I said again, I'm glad I'm saved. And I think it got 16 amens. That's the way they count them out there. 16 of them. And the next night, the man that I was preaching with, he said the same thing, I'm glad I'm saved. And I'll tell you, that whole audience was amening. Is that what it takes to wake us up? Listen, we should be happy every day. The man that my brother was talking about, Leonard DeBoer, never forget the day he came up to my place. Roy, I crawled away from underneath the car. I was overhauling the car. And he says, Roy, he says, we appreciate you coming to the meetings. Big smile on his face. And he said, you just keep coming. He didn't preach to me. He didn't tell me I was going to hell. He says, Roy, we appreciate you coming. Just keep coming. Listen, if you're going to gospel, just keep going. Listen to the gospel. I think of Isaac upon the altar. The thoughts that went through his mind. Abraham lifts that knife about raised, and God intervened. He said, Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Just like that, that knife fell out of Abraham's hand. And he wheeled around and he saw the ram caught in the thicket. He went and released his son, took him off the altar. A person that completely surrendered his life out for God. Now God delivers him. Isn't that wonderful? A person that's in the place not saved. And how all of a sudden you see another takes your place. That's what took place right here. As Abraham went over and took that ram and bound it up, put it upon the altar, and Isaac's back here watching. Abraham took that knife, and the judgment fell upon that ram. My, the night that I found out that the Lord Jesus had taken my place and died in my stead, I had eternal life that moment. He made it so real that the Lord Jesus had taken my place. He settled the sin question once and for all, made provision for all man. And if there's someone not saved in the meeting tonight, take a look away to Calvary. You don't have to use these eyes, but look away to understand why was the Lord Jesus lifted up? Why was he crucified? Why did the Lord Jesus have to die? And I can say tonight, therefore, Lord, for me. That's what I found out. He died for me. Salvation is very personal, my friend, and something that is made real to a person from the Word of God. Isaac couldn't help but understand that ram took his place. The night that I was saved, I couldn't help but understand that Christ died for this ungodly sinner. And I'm glad tonight that I know my sins forgiven. I know for sure I'm going to be in heaven without a shadow of a doubt. And if you're not saved tonight, dear ones, don't put it off. 23-year-old boy the other day, man, working in the factory where one of my sons work, called up that morning, can't make it to work, I'm not feeling too good. They said, what's the problem? Oh, just the flu. But you know what? An hour later, they called back. Said the young man had died. I haven't found out exactly what it was. That little step. One moment. Out into eternity. Where? Heaven or hell? For eternity. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Heaven or hell? Thinking of heaven tonight, a place of rejoicing, to be with the Lord Jesus, to be like Him. The night that I was saved, going down a little highway in the state of Iowa. They tell you people on the way to heaven should be in before 11, but I didn't get in till 2:30 that night because I was telling people how I was reached and saved. I enjoyed it. When I got home that night, in that little bedroom, I couldn't sleep the other nights, and I couldn't sleep this night for joy within my soul. But I'll tell you, before I went to bed, I bowed my knee beside that bedside for the first time in my life. Not the first time on my knees, but the first time in my life that I could thank God for His Son. And I haven't ceased to thank Him for it. Have you got an altar where you can come to ask all things, to thank Him for all things? So often we ask so much and fail to thank Him for His Son.